Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm about here.
Oh, you got through. Great.
Yes. I am very glad to hear the discourse between y'all about the elderly.
Okay.
This is something that should be on the agenda ever since. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that Mr. Safi has come forward and offered to help, although it would need to be technically dealt with. And but if he didn't offer to help, we would hardly be on the subject today.
It's true.
So, honestly, I used to work with the elderly. I had to stop because I hurt my back at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love working with them. And I would encourage young person, male or female, to take that course. I think they say it going to BCC now. Care the elderly, I think, mm-hmm. Yeah, BCC now. But wherever it is, I would encourage folks to join. Even, you don't have to be young, though. I mean, even if you're at a certain age and you have some time, it's a wonderful, wonderful course. It's 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like 6 months whole day, and I don't know if how far evening courses go. But when you finish with that course, it helps you appreciate the human body, and it helps you appreciate the elderly, and it helps you appreciate it. It gives you a rundown of the human body altogether, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing, so I'm encouraging. And I heard the Prime Minister say that she was, they were training persons, I think she called it something, kind of nursing, but it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just it has a different name now, because it was in 2000 and something when it went.
Okay.
2005, somewhere around there. But the person need to learn how to appreciate, and it comes through these like courses like that, reading up on the elderly and why they react the way they react, Alzheimer's and such that it may hit them, dementia, mm-hmm. different things like that, how to deal with it. Not to run from it. If you have an elderly person, don't run from it. Don't be ashamed of them. Some people, they don't want to care on their friends. They got granny acting up funny. Oh. I mean, we got to realize that even aging has a profit to it, because you will know that when you get a certain age and your body starts changing up and everything, what is happening with you, right? And you come to appreciate that your body is here for a while and it will go through various stages and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And their persons need to take more care, love and care for their elderly persons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the government, they're just my suggestion. They can work along with me. Free, and people are talking about the pension checks and this and that. Okay, but the elderly are more important than how much money they're getting out of the pension check.
And it's usually not very much either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard a lady calling a couple of weeks ago, and she said that in England they would take the check and that would support the person. And that's how it should be,
mm-hmm.
right? So that, of course, it has to be really dealt with. It ain't something that I would think would be allowed just like that, like for Mrs. Safi to have just like that, because there will going to be a separation from the, you know, the homeless and things. Anyhow, I think, though, with Mrs. Ford,
mm-hmm.
ministry,
yes,
all that, well, for everybody to get on board and really get to taking care of our elder folks, because we are... As I said, there's so much elderly persons in our community now.
Yes.
And that is also a line of employment for the young.
Right. So it's so important to take care of them, because they're important to our country, our society. They've made contributions.
They mm-hmm. encourage you. You know, mm-hmm. the world out there. The older men should speak to the young men, and the older women should speak to the younger women. And you can learn something. Some of them might be stubborn and so on, but a lot of it is because of fear,
mm-hmm.
right? That they will act stubborn, they will think you want to take away their freedom and everything. But if you are gentle with them, they wouldn't continue like that.
Okay.
So seek the help for your elder folks. Love them, respect them, and do what you have to for them. And government, as Mr. Safi have asked, mm-hmm. have said he would help, they can delve into that and see what can be done. Mm-hmm. I think it can work.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Oh, good afternoon, sorry.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment on the pension issue. I heard several times, you know, the repeat of, you know, it's their check to do what they want to do with it. But I think a lot of people take umbrage with that statement because, you know, your money, your pension, your salary is ideally to pay your bills, you know, house you, feed you, et cetera. And then you can, you know, give to your grandchildren, give to anybody else. But the idea that, you know, you can have your give away your money in the sense that you're saying their pension is to do what they can do want to do with it, and then the taxpayers have to house you and feed you and take care of you, it just doesn't seem fair. So I don't know.
I don't think that's not what I was trying to insinuate. What I was saying was that the check is actually for the pensioner. And I know we've had situations where people have been collecting pension checks on behalf of others, and mm-hmm. they, the pensioners, have not had the ability to benefit from their checks. So I think it is very important for us to recognize that older adults also have rights and freedoms, and money that is supposed to be theirs should be theirs, you know, to decide as to how it should be used. So I don't think that there is any family member that should be taking someone's pension check and spending it as they choose to spend it without...
But I think the context was one where you were suggesting that, you know, the pensioner gets to choose what happens to the money, and so therefore somebody seizing it, like the government, if they're in government care, the government shouldn't seize it. And a gentleman,
well, that's
not
what I was getting at. I think someone else was saying,
and I think that's outrageous
that. Mm-hmm.
because, you know, you can't have your money and your grandchildren are spending it, and then the taxpayer then has to support you. You know, somebody actually said that you know they're going to be supported twice, and some, you know, it was said that, oh, you've paid into your pension, and so therefore you can do whatever you want with it. And I support that. Of course you can do whatever you want with it after you have paid your bills. And your bills in this case would be to cover your housing and cover your food costs, whether mm-hmm. it's in a government institution or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think for the caller and for other people out there, you know, this is not acceptable, and this is why it's done overseas. They mm-hmm. will secure your check. And of course, if it exceeds a certain amount, yes, your family can get that if the pensioner decides. But certainly the person who's housing you and feeding you must be paid first.
Yeah, I think there are two separate issues here. I'm glad you raised the one that you did. You know, the pension should go towards the upkeep of the individual. But there's another
Absolutely.
Issue in our country, too, which is that pensioners are sometimes exploited by the people who are collecting
and
their
this
checks.
Is why it should be
so,
seized. If you are not in the house, if you are being taken care of by anybody else, then absolutely your pension check should be taken by whomever is taking care of you, and most likely the government.
Yeah, but it is
right.
really ensuring that this is done, because, you know, there are instances where people do end up in government care, and they end up in government care somewhat destitute, and they are receiving their pension checks, but they themselves are not the ones getting the benefits from the check. And I think there was a caller that said, you know, that the check could go towards the family, the grandchildren, and so on. And I think if there is a check coming to someone, that person should be the beneficiary of the check in the first instance.
Absolutely.
And other people should have to wait. If granny then decides or granddad decides, then that is a different situation. But thank
okay.
you for this call.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Okay, no, I'm miserable as always, so perhaps it's...
okay.
I'm born that way. You know, a very troubling thing has happened today to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passing through town and seeing youngsters, I mean, young youth, under 20 years old, jumping over the bridge, jumping after money as it was when it was also that age. And, you know, let me say something. I am not one that...
In the Careenage?
I don't support this profit motive thing to the extent that most governments in the Caribbean would like to think that that's the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe that profit motive is supposed to work more, or at least better, would be better appreciated in very large countries where perhaps they have a lot of research and development and lots of competition and that kind of thing. But to rely on the profit motive to move Barbados from where we are to where Barbados is supposed to be, I think, is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
When you had the BRRRR program and the other programs that came other way, afterwards, that said, okay, we're laying the platform, we're laying the pitch, and it's up to the private sector to go forward, is a complete... They're here to exploit me. They're here to exploit you. They're here to exploit the same guys that jump over the bridge to go into the water, pretending that there's money down there. When I pass, I dig in my pocket, man, I get them all the money I had. Because, truth be told, I'd rather them be jumping over the bridge and chasing after money under that excuse than breaking in my house. Here's the thing. Profit motive does not support them. It's not going to work for them. But I am a true believer in reparations.
Mm.
Reparations is where I am going with this particular argument. The thing is, you pay land tax out of some misconceived notion that there's a crown to be paid. Back in them days when the crown had owned all the land and the lords basically just rented from the rented from the crown anyway. So we took it, the government took it over and decided, well, you know, public servants need to be paid too. So we can take the money from landowners and give it to the public servants to do what? To travel and see the world? I mean, seriously.
You don't agree in land tax? You don't agree with land tax?
I do not agree with land tax.
Mm-hmm.
It is immoral and it is out of date.
Why is it immoral? Why is it immoral, though? Isn't it immoral for people to own land? We didn't put land here. Land came from the universe, from God. How do we have a right to own land and not do some redistribution to those who may not have the privilege of owning land?
Right. I think you're not arguing with me. You're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that reparations should be... The British government paid reparations to the owners of the land, to the owners of the plantations all those years ago, and probably the news is that they finished paying off the debt to the company that they borrowed the money from in the first place in 2014. There is information out there that says it's true, information out there says it's not true. But the British government borrowed money to pay the land owners in Barbados for the slaves.
Right. Uh-huh.
So that's good. The British government don't got to pay you no money or nobody, university, universities, and nobody. The people that are supposed to be paying for that debt now are the people who decide that they're big and bad enough now to own the land, own that asset for which there is still a liability to be met. The land that you own, the land that I own, is not a complete asset. There's a lot of debt associated with that land that needs to be paid for. And if you own that land, you should be prepared to pay off that debt too. That money... Reparations should be paid by landowners and not the British government.
But
that
landowners?
Contention.
So you mean that I should be paying reparations?
You have the...
No, don't say no.
You own... Okay, but give up the land then. You own
no,
the land.
No, the people that should be paying reparations are the people who have benefited, who have become wealthy on the back of slavery and colonization, and whose children and... You know, those who came after them have continued to benefit from this. And we have big banks around the world. We have institutions of higher learning. We have people who are in positions of high office in government around the world. These are the people who have been the beneficiaries. Somebody like me, somebody like you, who is a descendant of the enslaved that was able to acquire land somehow, whether working through your parents or whatever, I don't need to pay any reparations. It is those who have benefited from the system of colonization and slavery that need to pay reparations, not me.
I fully appreciate that you will have a particular opinion that will not change because of the way you were seasoned, the way you came through. You know, that's your textbook learning.
No, that's not textbook learning. That's my perspective on the basis of injustice and how injustice can be corrected. I have not done this historical injustice to anyone. In fact, I am one of the people that requires some repair.
Oh, good God. And then people here.
Well, I can't get to talk to. Go ahead.
There is not a single person alive in Barbados that has enslaved me or you. Not one. There is not a single person in Barbados who's prepared to accept that they hold responsibility for something that took place 120, not even 50, 60 years ago. No, 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one because they're right in that with that particular mindset. I am saying that you have benefited in some way through the ownership of that land. It has demonstrated that the system that you have inherited, you took over the system, you said whatever system of government they gave me, whatever churches they presented to me, whatever kind of schooling that they gave to me, I have take advantage of it and make better for myself. Those are the same systems and structures that were in place when white people were taking advantage of slaves. I'm saying to you, you have benefited from that system as well, so therefore you must be prepared to pay. Quite frankly, you have earned the right to own land, but you've also earned that right to pay the debt that the land has inherited. Reparations is not, yes, the banks, yes, Barclays, yes, the Lloyds of London, yes, all of these big institutions have made a lot of money off of slaves, should be prepared to pay back for that. But I'm saying to you that
I will do it after them. When I see them bringing the money, then you could come and talk to me.
But
after all of them start paying,
is
when, well, if that's not going to happen, don't expect any landowner of a small little piece of land in Barbados to be offering repair for a historical injustice. I don't understand that at all.
But they would be saying exactly the same thing. You have to take responsibility for the ownership of the land that you have bought and the fact that it has attached to it a lot of debt. That is what they'll be saying. And until you make that move, they will not make that move as well. You have to say, okay, you got the walk, you got the talk, but you have to walk the walk as well too. And until you realize the fact that you own land and you also own that debt, if you don't want that debt, don't take the land, get it back.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think we're going to have to disagree because people
are going to own
the land. Everybody would like a piece of the rock if they can get it.
Yeah,
and when they get
rock,
it, they don't need to be paying any...
With that rock comes to a liability that is historical one that needs to be recognized. And once you recognize it, it means you accept the responsibility for paying it back. Reparations is yours to pay back. Once you own land, you have to be part of that process. Don't look to the banks in England. Don't look for those people. They will do it only after you've made that first move. When do you think that guy went to Jamaica in the first place and the Jamaican said to him as prime minister, we want an apology, but you want reparations? And he said, he's not going to do either. Because he knew if he apologized as an official of the British government, then, of course, that apology would include reparations as well.
All right. Well, we have to go to a break. That was a very interesting and stimulating conversation. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It is 19 minutes past 1. We are in the last 40 minutes of the show. So if you want to get your call in, please call 434-1790. Let's go to the call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Mohammed Nasser. How are you, Miss Ayn?
I'm fine, Doctor. Thanks. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
Glad to be ready again. I called because I hear some experts on the radio talking about health and eat and what you could do to be healthy and so. And I know that they're not professionals when it comes to that, but I could tell you this.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Tell me.
Eating. I am telling you, when I was 28 years old, I was real sick. 25 years old, sorry. I was real sick. When I got about 30, I couldn't walk for 2 years. But I came across a book that there's a cure for arthritis. I have it to this day, and it's a very interesting book. But then when I got about 33 years old, I came across a book, two books that say, How to Eat to Live Part 1, How to Eat to Live Part 2.
Yeah.
I am going to tell everybody in Barbados and in the world now, and I know a lot of people know, the problem with people who take sick regularly and so is overeating.
Okay.
People must eat less.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing that I from these books that I've learned, that buy old food, an old fowl and an old fish. You know, some people like to get the biggest fish and the biggest chicken, I think. These things are not good for you neither. The book says that some of these big old fowls and so on, and old pigs, the thing that people eat, they're also suffer arthritis and things like that, like the human being. All you do is eat the same thing you don't want.
Yes.
I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that eating one meal a day is why I'm still alive today and still healthy as I am.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you to Dr. Hens.
Mm-hmm.
One day I went to Dr. Hens, as usual, checks every year and so we do. And as soon as he got back the results, he called me right away and told me, come back to this office. Something ain't right. So I went when he got the result. He said me, you don't eat. You don't drink water. I said, me? I eat one meal a day. Last 30 years, it would be, in this time, it would maybe be 40, 30, 25 or so. And he said, what? But your liver is suffering. It drained up because of moisture. So at least you must drink water more than once a day. And all I did to start to drink, he told me drink 8 pints of water a day, which I did not drink. I only drink normal 2 or 3 glasses, what people normally use. And remember, my family don't let it happen again. At least if you don't eat, drink water in between your eating time. And I am telling you, I'm not bragging or boasting. I am one of the most healthy human beings in this country. The problem with Barbados and the world is that we eat too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I can close by telling you this here. When I analyze what the book says, it makes sense to me. You wake up on mornings, you want breakfast. Around 10 o'clock, you want something to eat, a cake and a cup of coffee or tea or something. At 12 o'clock, you want lunch. Around 3 o'clock or so, you want another cup of tea and a cake or something.
Mm-hmm.
You go home at 6 o'clock and you want a heavy meal. So you had basically 3 heavy meals for the day. But you know what's a strange thing?
What?
We go tonight to a party,
mm-hmm.
a cruise or something. And you see the pair got the food covered his face. They ready to hold the plate, you can't see the face at all. Overeating is the problem. No, you can't do it suddenly. Eh? For I to get to the stage where I am at, where I can eat one meal a day and don't be hungry and things like that, you had to gradually cut down. You can't just tomorrow morning decide, I hear you should eat one meal a day, I'm going to eat one meal a day, because you will get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that one of the fundamental problems that keeping a lot of people poor too is overeating. And the reason why a lot of us sick is because of overeating.
Okay.
And I hope some people should look at these things. There got to be something wrong with eating so much food every day.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make sense. But they did not know neither, so I don't think that they literally are criticizing them. I just saying a suggestion.
Okay.
Because I used to eat regular too, and regular went through my world biggest dolphin, I think, not for you. If people start to cut their food intake,
mm-hmm.
they will save a lot of money and they will be much healthier. And I hope some of the experts that know about health, because I know they really got people who know about these things,
will
really sometimes
mm-hmm.
talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Overeating is the biggest problem that we have in Barbados and in the world.
Okay.
You go on a tour ship, I've been on cruises already. And if you see the amount of food that these people consume, it's the same human being. Enjoy the cruise, not the food.
That's part of the enjoyment. But yes, we understand what you're saying. Moderation, right?
Yeah.
Moderation.
So, I just wanted to pass that because if some people try it, they might be surprised. And I would like to get, I instead of get some more books, because individuals, when they see certain things, I give them away.
Mm-hmm.
I give away a lot of those books already. But I will still find some more that I could give away. How to eat to live part one and part two. They're easy for you to get.
Okay.
And there's a cure for arthritis.
Mm, okay.
And I believe it because I tell you, I was almost a cripple at 25 years old. And changing my eating habits have done more for me than anything else. Because like I said, it's quick too. A lot of people believe that medication does heal them. What medication do is boost your immune system. And your immune system heals you. So if you are fighting your immune system by putting a lot of garbage, any of us, this is not individual, I told me, I should do it too. Putting a lot of garbage into our systems, we have also created our problems for our immune system to really stabilize and help us.
Okay.
Thank you for the time. I just want to say that.
All right, and thank you for your call too. So we've had a lot of health perspectives coming today. I would love to hear from someone who is an expert on this, on some of these matters. As I said, sometimes this information is so confusing because there are so many views about how we should eat, whether we should all be vegans, vegetarians, if we should eat once a day, once a week, all kinds of stuff. So if we are concerned and serious about our health, we do have to think about how we eat, but how do we know what the right way is?